B-Pod Studios.
They get you going. They get you going every day.
He looks worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Bruce Cassidy is the head coach of the Boston Bruins. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Bruce Cassidy, hello, sir.
Gentlemen, how are you?
We are well. I just want to be the first to congratulate you. ESPN.com gave your trade with the Sabres an A-minus for you. Not quite an A, but not a B. An
well, let's
A-.
Turn it into an A, then. There you go.
All right. So Taylor Hall, obviously, first of all, congratulations, because I've been saying this, whether you're on the air or not, I mean, you did everything that you wanted to do. You got a score, you got a left shot defenseman, and you got some depth forward. So, I mean, that's nice to see. You didn't have to give up a whole ton. Taylor Hall talked about wanting to be a Bruin. How long have you guys had your eye on him, and how much did him wanting to come to Boston, how much of that was a factor in him coming to Boston?
Well, I mean, obviously, Donnie did a great job. It's a lot of work, legwork, a lot of different names come up over the deadline. So good for him to, identify our areas and get it done. And we lose Bjorky, who's a great kid. He's worked hard to be a Bruin, and, unfortunately, we had other guys ahead of him at the end of the day. And so he moves on, but we wish him well. But with Taylor, I think it started this summer. There was some communication. Again, that's Donnie's area. I don't know how far it went, what, sort of stumbling blocks were to get it done. At the end of the day, he signed in Buffalo, but had a no-move clause in his contract. So that allows you to control some of the process, right, of which teams you want to go to. So obviously it's great that he wanted to be a Bruin, obviously, speaks to the organization and the leadership in the room here. So, but he hasn't been on the ice yet. So let's see how it plays out. But that's where I think his mind was at. Only he can answer how much he wanted to be a Bruin. But he did want to come here. And we're happy to have him. And, we need that element. And it's a guy that I think everyone knows can score some goals, make some plays. We just got to get him up to speed here in a hurry.
Where is he going to play?
Where is he playing?
Yeah. Where are you putting him in tonight? Give us the lineup. What are the lines?
He's going to play left wing and lefty.
Okay, good. Well, you need him. You need him to. I tell you, you got guys playing defense I've never heard of.
Now, who do you have available?
And I follow the team. All right, no, but seriously.
No, he's going to play with Krejci. Okay. And then on the right side, we've had Pasta down there. We'll probably put Pasta back with Bergie and Marsh. And Smith or DeBrusk will be his right winger. That's the one area that, we'll see what the best fit is. But right now, it'll be Smith and Hall and Krejci in the middle. We're trying to develop chemistry for Krejci and Hall. Bergie and Marsh have always stayed together. We've moved Pasta around. So that's first and foremost. He'll start with Krejci. Hopefully they develop chemistry, and then the right side will sort of sort itself out. That's where we're a little bit. Someone has to move to the right eventually, whether it's DeBrusk or Richie that shoots left, that are custom playing to left wing, but we'll sort through that later, and that'll be on the third line. So,
how do you approach a player like Taylor who hasn't had the best season, but he has the raw talent to be effective? Like, how do you introduce a guy like that into the team?
Well, I talked to him yesterday on the phone, and obviously I've never coached him. I think the one thing we have that he's missed in other places, no disrespect, is it sort of that winning environment. So I think the message to him is, listen, go out there, do what you do best, but you don't have to carry the Bruins on your back every night. We have guys that that you're even going to play behind Marshy, so you're not even seeing that top pair D every night. We have good team structure. We don't rely on our goaltender to go out and flat out win us games. Yes, he needs to be good like every other team, but so just play, do what you do best, attack with the puck, compete on pucks, and bring your game. So hopefully as he goes along here, he recognizes that the game doesn't rely on the outcome doesn't rely on him, whether he's had a great night or an average night. Just play. And yes, he's a good enough player that he's going to have really good nights. And other nights where maybe the puck's not bouncing his way or not, then have a solid game, a B game. So I talk about A and B games with our players a lot. You're not going to be at your A game every night. It just doesn't happen for 82 times a year. But contribute. Help the team win. some nights we might need a little extra scoring out of you. Other nights it might just be, hey, you know, make your plays, and maybe Marshy's line is the one dominating that late. So that's kind of the message to, you know, just, like I said, don't put too much pressure on yourself. And then slowly as you get acclimated, hopefully, you know, it goes a little better for him each and every shift over the boards with Kretch. You know, enjoy the winning if, you know, you can help us do that.
All right, when Hall's on his A game, what does he bring to you? I mean, you see a kid that was the number one pick. You see a kid that won a Hart Trophy, and then you've seen a kid that's only had two goals this season. What does he bring to the ice when he's on?
Well, his attack mentality. He can back defensemen off. He can beat them one-on-one with his speed and his skill. He's got a great wrist shot, you know, more than, you know, like Pasta has the one-timer. Marshy's more of a wrist shot guy. So I'd put him more in that Marshy category where he's a really good one-on-one player. Can really fly in off the wing. Once he gets separation, you're not catching him. And he can finish. You know, he doesn't need four or five chances. Now, having said that, this year seems to be one of those years where that's happening, where they're not going in as much. So is that, you know, a player that having a tough year, or is that just as you get a little bit older, they don't go in as much? I don't know. I can't answer that because, you know, he wasn't with us all year. So what we're hoping, obviously, is his numbers kind of go back to where they're historically been, the shooting percentages and his ability to finish, and maybe playing against the second pair D, because don't forget, everywhere he's been, he's always, you know, circled on the other team's locker room. Hey, we got to shut this guy down. So now he's got, like I said, Marshy, another left winger that teams are focusing on. So that might make a little bit easier matchup-wise for him. So we'll see how it plays out. But that's what he brings. He's a pretty dynamic player, you know, that can separate in a hurry and score goals without needing a lot of, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth opportunities.
Well, Bruce, I know that probably the number one thing that you're hoping for is just health right now. I mean, it's like a hospital ward out there. Fred said it best. I mean, some of these guys who you had on defense, I didn't even know who they were. And I guess none more important than Tuukka Rask right now. What's the status on Tuukka?
Yeah, Tuukka's practicing. We got him targeted for Thursday. We were not sure this week. We have four games this week, back-to-back Thursday, Friday, so we're hoping to get him in, but it looks like it's going to be Thursday, Sunday for him, and that's good news for us. You know, they've taken their time a little bit with this one. We didn't want a reoccurrence of what happened last time where he came back too quick, so, you know, Swayman's going to start first, and he's been solid for us, and you know, our D, I give him credit. You know, there's a lot of young kids getting thrown in tough situations. Obviously, the game on Sunday, nobody played, you know, to their A game, you know, or their B game for a lot of us, for that matter. I think fatigue finally caught up to us and played against a very strong team. But they've done a pretty good job hanging in there and trying to, you know, help us win. So, you know, Kevin Miller's back in. He helps. McAvoy's close. We're getting a few more guys in the lineup back there that have been in the league a little longer that can help, you know, calm things down when they start getting away from us.
So regarding Tuukka, there was an article that came out in The Athletic, and Flutishin Zawa, obviously, is a good writer. He had spoken to somebody who he said was an NHL source. And he was talking about Tuukka Rask and not only him being out, but the dependability. There was a question about how dependable he was. And the quote that he got from the source was, quote, 4 years, something's happened with Tuukka down the stretch. Noted an NHL source referring to Rask's 2019-20 exit from the bubble, last game illness in 2015-16, and game six performance in the 2013 Stanley Cup final. Gone to blank every time. Is that a fair assessment of Tuukka Rask in your mind?
I don't think so. You know, Tuukka had a personal issue last year. We backed him up 100%. You know, it was an unfortunate timing for the Bruins, but family comes first. So we moved on from that in a hurry. You know, the previous year, he went to game seven of the Stanley Cup finals and arguably our best player throughout the playoffs. So tough to knock him that particular year. I mean, game seven, going back, I thought we were the better team early in the game. We just didn't finish. They did. Give them credit. They were able to win the biggest game of the year. We weren't quite there, but it certainly wasn't on Tuukka. And then going back, I think there was is it something to do with the Ottawa game? I wasn't here then, so I can't speak to why he didn't play that game. So I disagree with that. I mean, Tuukka has had a few injuries and obviously a couple of setbacks where he wasn't able to play, but I don't think it's something that psychologically is going on in his head where he's planning out ahead of time, hey, I'm going to kind of screw my teammates here. It's just the way it's worked a little bit. And this injury, again, guys get hurt. You know, he came back a little too soon. Is that his fault? Is that the medical team's fault? Is that bad luck? I don't know. But at the end of the day, we want to get him right for the stretch here, because I think every team would tell you, you need your number one goalie. And you know, that same source might have to look around the league, and I don't know who that is, and realize that, you know, every team is looking for that steady number one goalie, and when Tuukka's on, he's that guy. So I just think it's that position, one, right? It's one of those positions that gets debated a lot. Source could be half of Boston, right? So, you know, who knows?
Well, it was Rich. It was Rich.
Well, there you go.
It was him just cleverly disguising his Tuukka hate.
Yeah.
But how many years off your life has Tuukka Rask taken? I mean, to have to deal with goaltenders is really...
Right, so that's a different question, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard enough as a fan. I can only imagine if my job depended on it.
Well, I love how Swayman had to brag that he's prides himself on not being a weird goalie.
Okay, few. So I know you got to go, but I wanted to ask you about Swayman. We had Ray Kroft on yesterday. He's talking about how these kids now coming up have all psychological coaches and all this stuff. Is there a maturity to Swayman that you see that's uncommon from a kid his age?
Yeah, I think that's accurate. I think he's a little more calm in his approach. Doesn't seem to let things phase him. It's early here. You know, he's only been here, a few weeks, with this type of season, back and forth with Providence, trying to get him some starts there. Obviously, the injuries here, Yarrow on Halak on the COVID protocol, it kind of forced him in, and he's done a great job for us. And so did Vladar. I mean, he had a tough night the other night, but as I said, I wouldn't put that all on him. But they've done well for us, so it's good to know we have some depth there. But he does seem to have a little bit more of a normal sort of way about him. But I put Tuukka in that category, too. I think Tuukka's a pretty, personable guy that doesn't seem to have a lot of superstitions. And so
he's the anti-DeBrusque. Because DeBrusque has been on the air with us talking about how he's cycled through sticks and haircuts and
cuts his hair,
different trips to the rink.
Yeah,
different routes,
changing his driving habits. So you're saying Tuukka DeBrusque is filling in for Tuukka in that regard?
He might be. I find that hockey's hit or miss that way. There are a lot of superstitious guys. You know, what skate they tie first, or they tape their shin pads with, you know, certain color tape one day, or their sticks or whatever they do, and that's fine. But at the end of the day, you got to go out and perform, right? So, and I think Tuukka's been good at it, and I think this Swayman's going to be good at it. He's a battler. He's a kid that works hard at his game, and hopefully doesn't go down that road where these outside things sort of bother him. But we'll see. We'll see.
All right. Well, Bruce Cassidy, thanks so much for the time. I know you got to get to practice or whatever the hell goes
morning
on at
skate.
This time.
Doing a little video, watching Buffalo here on the ice at 11, ready to go.
Bruce Cassidy, thank you so much for the time, sir.
All right, guys. Thanks. Thanks all for right, having me. Always good.
All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, it really did begin last year. Of course, Julian Edelman tried to play through a pretty serious knee injury. Actually thought he was going to come back late in the season after having surgery. Just was not able to do it. Tried to practice, had a little bit of a setback, was not on the field again. And at that point, it became very clear, Mike, to the people close to Julian Edelman, that this knee injury was troublesome and potentially career-ending. And, of course, the Patriots really took their time with this and let Edelman take his time, prove to himself he could get healthy. They tried to allow him as much time as possible just to be able to play in the 2021 season, despite the fact...
Ian Rappaport with an earth-shattering report that the people around Julian Edelman thought that his career could be in jeopardy because of his knee.
Well, I guess that one is not as earth-shattering as the report that his good friend Rob Gronkowski came out with. Rob was hijacked by the TMZ people, and here's what Rob said.
Rob, how you doing, man? Welcome to L.A. A lot of people are asking, now that he's done, is he a Hall of Famer?
Jules? Yeah, he's a Patriot Hall of Famer for sure.
A Patriot Hall of Famer?
100%.
Is there any chance that he ends up in Tampa Bay with you guys next year?
Has 69% chance.
Not yet.
Where did you get your number from? Can I ask?
That's just you asked if there's a chance I give you a number.
I love playing two-hand touch, eating way too much, watching my team win.
And what else?
With the Twins.
There's a 69% chance.
Yeah. I would like to be the guy at TMZ who just has to hang out at the airport all day long. Where they let you out, security lets you out. Just what are you doing today? Well, I got to go to LAX at 8 in the morning. I got to be there for 12 hours today. Just waiting to see if someone randomly comes out of the out of security.
I've got to get Grant Shaw's opinion on the Kanye West divorce.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. That's something else.
Grant Shaw, wasn't he the nerd from Murphy Brown? It's the most random person I could think of.
Ask Wallach about the cast of The Single Guy, and he can enthrall you with.
All right, here we go. Joey Slotnick, damn it.
Well, Joey Slotnick.
Ming Na Wen, I mean, let's go.
She, by the way, her career's on fire. She's always playing a temptress in everything she does. She's not aged 1 minute. One minute.
Long stint on ER, too.
Yeah, she has had, she's always playing someone. She was on New Girl as a seductress.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my dear. So the NFL Players Association is, they're hitting home runs all over the place. They are really can't get out of their own way. So now the thing is, if teams are going to go, they want their players not to go to voluntary camp is what they want. So far, three teams have acquiesced to the Players Association's demands, one being Seattle. Surprise, surprise. I wonder who's running that thing.
And the Broncos.
But it's funny because, again, the Players Association just not helping any of its membership whatsoever. I would like to be a guy with 1 year left on my deal who's a fringe player who has the benefit of actually getting in there, being in the building, proving themselves, and then the Players Association going, no, don't do that. No, we're going to make it more difficult for you to make this team. That's exactly what we're going to do. Your presence, while that could entice the people that make the decisions to keep you around, we're going to remove you from that situation right after the draft, where they've enlisted all these other people, including people that play your same position, who they have spent the last 4 months studying film on. And we're going to, while they're fresh there in their mind with their nothing contract because they were drafted in the fifth round, and you're sitting there as a veteran who is making this much money, and your one advantage that you had was that you were going to be in the building and you knew the system and you knew your way around and you were going to be in front of your coaches and you were going to be able to prove yourself. And the Players Association says, we don't want you to do that. They are the Ted Cruz of labor unions, just a day late, a dollar short, just can't get out of their own way. Oh, are they dumb? And I guarantee you, Russell Wilson is sitting there and he's saying, Mr. Unlimited, and now I don't have to do anything. That's right, Russell. Keep it up. You're doing your teammates a big service right over there.
When does it get to a point where there's enough infighting where people in charge will go, stop. This is just ridiculous. Well,
you heard they asked like nobody Patriot players what they thought, and they're like, if Belichick tells me to come in, I'm coming in.
Yeah.
Because they want to make, what they want to do is play football professionally. That's what their goal for the season is to make money playing football professionally. And the best way for them to do that is to get in front of the coaching staffs. But the Players Association is now, because the Players Association is looking for anything to, the corona thing is absolutely, is nothing to do with it. They're looking for any opportunity to kind of stake some kind of relevance or show that they have some kind of power
in order to get something in return. And this is something that, John, you and I talked about it off the air. If I'm the teams, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, don't
good.
Show up.
Don't show up.
We'll have the people. We'll be just fine. We'll figure out. You guys don't want to show up. We'll get players to do. And the other part of it is, and the other thing the owners have over the players, if I remember correctly, when the players ratified the last CBA, it wasn't exactly a huge majority. It was pretty damn close, that vote. The union is anything but unified. There will be teams that boycott this. Tampa Bay, Seattle, and Denver have already voted to boycott in-person OTAs starting Monday. But you're not going to have every team do this. There'll be about eight that say, no, we're not going. And the rest, like the Patriots, will say, no, we are going. And the owners know this. The owners know this. The players are never all together on anything.
Can you imagine if you were a third-round pick, fourth-round pick 2 years ago from the Jets? You've never met Robert Saleh in your entire life. They have a whole new coaching staff coming in. They have 89 picks in this year's draft, and you're going to go, you're taking away my opportunity to show in front of this new coach?
Brand new, clean slate. There are no biases. Here's a chance for me to show myself, and you're going to tell me not to go to the building and get a head start where I can make money?
Yes, because...
Oh, my
because
God, I'm what going!
Because Saleh knows the guys in the NFC, and he knows the guys that are going to draft, because, again... He's been meeting with these guys. He's been watching film on them constantly. And he's going to draft them, and he's going to go. They're not making any money. And then here I am, and the one advantage I had was being in that building and being in front of the coach, and you're going to take that away from me. Boy, the Players Association is dumb. And boy, the Seattle, they have everything going for them, and they just can't get out of their own way. Oh, are they dumb. I guarantee you it's Russell Wilson's at the head of that line. If God help them if they start listening to that nerd.
Do you say the Bucs are doing this as well?
Yeah,
John.
Tampa actually. Here's the one argument Tampa has that no other team has. Well, we did it virtually last year. We won the whole thing.
Remember those Brady virtual offseason workouts at the park?
That's a good point.
Well, yeah, they were all...
The best were Rob Gronkowski, who did all of his workouts in one day and ended up switching shirts to make it look like he was doing it on different days, remember?
Right. Well, those were the sprints.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah, but you can also see Gronkowski out at a park with Brady and everyone else from that offense. I mean, they all practice together. Do you think for 1 second Brady's doing anything virtually? Do you think for 1 second?
No, at the height of COVID, when it was as bad as it ever was last year.
He's walking to people's houses.
Yeah, why are they boycotting?
Yeah, he had
because Brady's the straw that stirs the drink, because Brady
probably is like, we'll just do it on our, we'll do it on our own. And Arians is probably like, fine, go ahead. That we have every starter back, literally every starter back. If you want to appease the union, that's fine. We're the team to do it. We won a championship. We have all our starters back. And I know you guys all have a history of working together.
You know what? It's a win-win. The optics are the union. We're towing the union line when in reality, Brady's having everyone to his Tampa mansion and they're playing touch in the backyard.
Well, I mean, and look, the Patriots have already done OTAs with themselves. They've gone in Florida. You had Cam Newton and the loser.
Stidham on the West Coast.
You know, Stidham and Cam went out to those too.
Cam, right.
And Stidham and a bunch of their offensive players. Get out of here. They're so worried. It's the Players Association trying to get something.
After getting slaughtered in the last negotiation.
Yeah. And using coronavirus as a kind of a tilting point for it or some way to get in. And it's so see-through and stupid. Yeah, Tampa Bay is the best team to do it. If I was Tampa Bay, hell yeah, I don't want to go. If I'm Gronkowski, I don't want to have to go do the stupid physical testing and crap like that. Hell yeah. But if I'm Arians, I'm like, I got 22 guys that all started for my team. We won a championship. I got Tom Brady, who's a player coach, and Tom Brady's going to go out there and he's going to coach my offense in these OTAs. I know that's going to happen. And my defense, I have all my leaders back on defense and they'll go do the same thing. Now, if I'm some middling guy from Tampa Bay, I'm petrified that this situation's happening, but then again, the players' union only cares about the stars.
And mark my words, you know, Denver, it was funny. Mike Klitsch, who used to write for the Denver Post and I think now covers the Broncos for a local Denver TV station, he's wired in. He's talking to some of the players, and the players like, we're not going to be the only team that does this. You wait. Okay. I guarantee you about a third of the NFL teams are going to be on board, and it's going to look like, I don't know, like one of those student walkouts where only part of the fifth grade
Donna
leaves.
Martin graduates.
Right. Donna Martin. No, that was complete, though. Everybody left, and they got the junior class to go with them.
Yeah, Dylan on the case.
Yeah.
But you know why? The Denver doesn't want to show up.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Fangio put you through hell to get you to heaven. Come on. Come on, you lily liver chicken crap. Come in and take Fangio's off-season program. So we can look forward to that. I have a feeling the Patriots are not going to be boycotting this. But we'll see. As they draft in the new Kuiper mock draft, as they move up to 10 to take Justin Fields, who's slipping to 10.
They're going to be at Justin Fields' day today, as a matter of fact.
Josh McDaniels will be there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Josh McDaniels. Bill don't go unless he's got bros.
Mm.
Bill ain't going unless you bring out Saban.
He doesn't like Ryan Day, huh? He doesn't care about Ryan Day.
Nah, he's some new kid punk. McDaniels, you go carry my lunch over there.
I can almost see that if Fields is there at 9 or 10, I can see the Patriots, if they really want a quarterback.
Well, you wouldn't have to give up two first-rounders
There's no way in hell they're going to expend the draft capital to jump it up to 4 or 5, mm-hmm. but I can see if a quarterback falls to them at 10.
15 to 10 is probably this year's first, next year's first, and a third or something like that. And so that's moving up to 10. And then as opposed to this year's first, next year's first, the years after that's first, and then a bunch of other crap.
Yeah.
And N'Keal Harry.
Of course.
You have to throw that in as well. But, yeah, moving up to 10 is something they could do without mortgaging the future. Because if you get Justin Fields, now you have your quarterback, and also you have to think that your pick next year in the first round is going to be a whether you say low or high, I don't know, whatever in the 20s is.
Yes.
So you figure that your pick is in the 20s because you figure this team's going to make the playoffs. Blah, 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 blah. And then you have your quarterback for the future. So that would be ideal. So if I'm a Patriot fan and I'm watching the draft, I'm looking for Fields or Lance to slip past
8 or 9.
To slip past 8, slip past Carolina. Yep. And if they slip past Carolina, then look for the Patriots to make a move because what does Dallas care about moving down 5 spots? Unless they fall in love with a defensive player, I don't think that there's anything there that they're going to be going crazy
in that Mel Kiper mock draft. I think it's Horn. They took at 15, the cornerback from South Carolina.
Injury prone.
Yeah. By the way, later on in the show, Chris Mortensen came out with one of the dumbest reasons why people should be wary of drafting Justin Fields. It's like one of the dumber things I've heard any of these draft guys say.
No. All right. Well, we will hear all about that. Recap's coming up at 8. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Talking about the game is no game.
You are listening. You are enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friend.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. We were talking at the beginning of the show. Rich had played a clip of a guy. It doesn't really matter, but this guy bowling and then Rich was talking about old bowling alleys, and I said to John off air, there was this place where I grew up in Farmington Hills, Michigan, that Bonaventure skating rink that just went out of business. Like Bonaventure, only a skating rink. Its sole purpose was to roller skate. It was not a family fun zone. There wasn't, you know, go-kart tracks and, you know, virtual golf.
So weird. I had one near where I grew up, too. I grew up in Lexington, and the next town over, there was something called Walex, Wal-Lex.
Yeah, that was your computer persona.
That's right.
Walex.
That's right. And there was a bowling alley attached to a solo roller skating rink right near the Waltham High School, and that was where we went when I was a kid.
I've been to one in the last 2 years. There's one in Saugus. I think it's called, is it Roller World? I think it is. Like, my kid had something there. But, yeah, I mean, it's what, kind of on the, like, if you're heading north, it's on the left side, kind of behind a bunch of crap. But, oh, yeah, there's, you'll still find those, you know, hidden around.
Right.
There's, you know, usually 2-3 per suburbs. You're out there.
So I was thinking, okay, I don't think there's 2-3 per suburb. I mean, I think you're dealing with a dinosaur there. I mean, Saugus, they hang on to things long after. They just got the Thriller record in Saugus. I mean, Saugus is a place where stores exist, and you go, how is that a store? And then you go, oh, it's in Saugus. Okay. All right. But
That's about 2 or 3 there usually is. I'm sure that there's probably some more that people can probably throw out there, but it's shocking. Like, in like these kind of, not like Saugus is a small town, but in smaller towns, you'll see, wow, how did that last? And somehow they're able to make the rent on these things.
So the point was, and then I go, well, obviously, because Bonaventure is this mono, it's this massive building. And so I thought, well, and I look at the price of the home I grew up in, and the price of the home I grew up in is like what my parents sold it for 20 years ago. I mean, the price is, so Bonaventure obviously didn't have that much of a problem existing. But then John and I started talking about going back to your home that you grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back to my home when Milo, my son, was like 2. I was in Detroit with him, and I went back to my home, and I was like I put him on the front lawn and took a picture with my camera. And like the guy who's in the house now came out and was like, what are you doing? He's like, an elaborate scheme to rob you. I've used this 2-year-old, and now I'm getting all this information from my phone. And he was giving me a bunch of crap. But while you have been back to your childhood home.
It's weird. I went before my kids were born, and I was dating my now wife at the time. And we happened to be near where I grew up. And I'm like, I got to make a stop. I got to go over there. So went back to the old house, and, you know, I had to take a picture. I stood across the street. It's a suburban neighborhood, tree lined.
Right.
I mean,
it took
the picture. And the woman who was home, like, opened up the door and said, can I help you? And I said, okay, I'm not like gaining information to come back later. I grew up here. I grew up in this house, you know, and then I had something in my mind said, do you mind if I come in and take a look around?
See,
and
that's what the guy should have said for
she
me.
She said, but the funny thing is, not knowing me, she said yes.
Yes.
And I went in and I looked
around. That's the right thing to do.
And everything looked a lot smaller than I remember.
But that's the right thing to do. I thought the guy, I'm like, yeah, we're in from Boston.
Yeah.
This is the house I grew up in.
Yeah.
And I figured the guy was going to go, yeah, come on in.
Yeah.
But the guy like hung out like on the front yard, like waiting for us to go. I have a 2-year-old with me. Like, what? Like, you're in Farmington Hills, Michigan.
It's all a ruse. I have a pistol in my back pocket.
Yeah, you're on Foxgrove Road in Michigan. Out of all the homes in the nation, I stopped you out on a Saturday afternoon and decided this is where the money is. Now, listen, I grew up in the house. It's a $220,000 house.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not, like, this isn't an art heist. Like, I can see not, like, bringing the people in. Whatever.
Dude knocked on my door and said they used
to. I didn't.
Especially if it's a man, I'm not letting
him. I didn't knock on any door, neither did John.
Neither of us
knocked. I wasn't going to knock on the door.
Yeah.
But once you come out and establish a rapport with someone, you would assume that, like, all right, the gig's up. Like, I realize that this guy is indeed from Boston and hasn't randomly picked out this house on a cul-de-sac to start rifling through. But they knocked John's house down. It was too late to be deemed a historic site.
I don't know if that freaks anybody out. If I went back to where I grew up, I don't know, 8 years ago, 7 years ago, one more trip. I just happened to be in the area. It wasn't a trip to go look. And they had knocked my house down and replaced it with this like spaceship that had landed in the neighborhood. It doesn't look anything like the houses around it. It had like a three car garage with like a small circle in the front yard, and the garage wasn't even facing the street. It was facing the side.
Like, do you go back to that house you grew up in, Rich?
Yeah, so I did it just recently. I went to a couple different ones, and because I lived in the one in Florida before the one in Kennesaw, and the one in Florida is hysterical because it looks exactly the same, and you know you can go on like Zillow and find out the value and stuff.
Yeah, right, right.
And I actually found out how much like my parents sold it for. Like, you know, so I think that the one in Florida was $60,000, the house that we lived in, and then the one in Kennesaw, they ended up selling, and we were in it for, I mean, like 15, 20 years, I think. I think they sold it for like $110,000. So what they bought it for must have been like next to nothing.
My
for this
parents
house.
Bought our house for $75,000.
Yeah.
That I know.
Yeah. And so what's crazy is that since then, I guess they put like one of the best public schools in the region real close to it. Yeah. And now the value of the house I grew up in is like $230,000. Like it's almost doubled in its value in just like whatever, like the last 15 years. So yeah. Well, we go by it, but I it's like a drive-by for me. Like I don't want anyone seeing me taking pictures. Like I slowly creep by and do it.
But what's wrong? But if you take a picture, like what, like why would they think that you're like? Like, it's different
there's
if it
nothing
was
wrong with it. That's just something about me. Like, I don't want to get out of the car because I don't want to creep anybody out.
Yeah, I don't know. If a 2-year-old's in your lawn,
there's nothing wrong
like,
with it.
Like, I'm on the radio, so if you come to my house, I'm going to be weirded out because I'm going to think you're there for me. But if I'm, you know, if I have like a, if I'm like a tax attorney and you know, and there's a 2-year-old in my lawn and a guy's taking a picture of the 2-year-old. I mean, my mind does not automatically flash towards shenanigans, illegal activity.
This may be completely irrational, but in Kennesaw, Georgia, everyone owns a shotgun, and it's just they're looking for excuses to shoot people on their yard.
Well, that's the added bonus we don't have up here.
Well, if they shoot a 2-year-old, that will go over well in the media.
As I said, it might be completely irrational.
You might get the gun law changed. If they shoot your kid, you actually
gun
might get the
gun. Really change there in Kennesaw. Yeah.
I don't know. You murder.
You have to by law own a gun.
I don't know. You murder a kid in front lawn, innocent kid in your front lawn. They might actually. They probably wouldn't change anything, but there would be talk of it. There would at least be a good discussion being had. They would have to look at the situation there. Yeah, well, it's funny. My parents weren't lying. They bought the house for $75,000.
Oh yeah.
And now it's valued at $150,000. So yeah. It's doubled since 1976.
It's the best. Like Zillow's been great. You can see the value of how things, and you find out just how much your parents threw out there and everything like that.
And that's the only address I remember that I lived in. Like every other place, like in Atlanta that I lived, I don't remember the address. I don't remember my address in. I do remember Brighton. I remember my address in Brighton.
It's so weird. I remember where I grew up, and I remember when I lived in Brookline. I remember that address and that.
You'll never forget the phone number of where you grew up either.
Oh, of course. Of course.
In a phone number before you needed an area code.
Yep.
We had the phone number before
That's
the area
right.
code.
Yes.
Then we had the Detroit area code, and then we got a different area code.
I might I might only know 4 phone numbers by heart, other than, of course, the ones that advertise in song. But, like, I know Mary's phone number when we first started dating. I know my best friend's phone number and, like, my phone number growing up. That's it.
Yeah, I know 2 phone numbers. I know my number and my wife's number. And I had to know my wife's number because I didn't think I knew it. And then there was, like, some emergency where I had to think of it. And miraculously, it came to me. Like it was in some recessed part of my mind, and then the panic and anxiety that I was going through jarred it, and it was quite miraculous. Like it jarred it into my consciousness. It was almost like when you hear about mothers picking up a car off their kids.
Yeah.
It was that mentally. It was my it shot into my brain. But then again, I don't remember anyone's names. And I'm coaching this girls' soccer team, and the girls' names. Oh, my goodness. One stranger than the next. Like, you'll go, oh, your name's, like, Aaliyah. And then they'll go, no, it's, like, a lot of Rudy. And you're like, oh,
I've never heard of that. Times I've gone out with Mary to, like, go on a date, and we're meeting up with, like, 4 other couples or something like that. And I'm like, please, go over their names. And I write them in my phone. And I have to say them out loud, like, over and over on the way there. So I don't – and think of some weird way to remember it. I'm the worst.
I like that you call it dates. Still
yes.
going on a date, man.
Isn't that cute?
What do you call it when you bring your wife out?
Going out.
Okay.
It's date night with the lady. Listen, it's nice. It's sweet. You go on a date
night. Going on dinner, yeah. Going on a date.
Yeah.
still, you know, well, they were still kindling that spark.
Well, how long were you dating before you got married? 10, 15 years? Yeah.
10 years.
Yeah, yeah, remember.
For 10 years from 15 to 25.
Yeah.
Those two crazy lovebirds.
16 to 26.
I'm sorry.
All right, I'm sorry.
You're giving me 1 year credit, which I don't deserve.
No, 16 to 26. So now, because I remember when we first started, now you've been with Mary longer than you've not been with her.
Oh, my God, by a lot. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Because
yeah,
when we first started, that was a number that you were, like, circling. You were like, there's going to be a time when I've been with Mary longer than I haven't been with her.
So you've been with Mary for almost 30 years now. Or you have over 30 years now.
No, no, no. Not quite 30.
No,
not
he's a year younger than me.
Okay.
He's what, you turn 45 next month. This month.
This month, yeah.
Yeah, he turns 45 this
so
month. Yeah,
29 years.
Yep, yep.
Wow.
Yep. 29 years back, with the same. Still going on dates.
Still going on dates. Back when we used to have to go to, as I was saying, Burger King. When, believe it or not, they did have a free popcorn machine.
Yeah, that's,
for about 6 months.
That was some wild franchisee. That was some wild franchisee with his own plan.
Because as the words were coming out of my mouth the other day, I'm like, Burger King didn't offer free popcorn for about 6 months. They had this thing called, like, they tried to class up the joint, and it was called, like, dinner baskets, where they would have table service and baked potatoes. There was, like, a nationwide ad. There's a commercial for it. Like, and look at the popcorn.
That never came to us. That
no
never,
one's doing this.
That never came to suburban Detroit.
Didn't come east either. I didn't see it.
No, they didn't. They must have been trying that in the south.
It didn't last very long. Not at all.
That was the best thing about being in Orlando is that all the chains tried stuff there first. I don't know for what reason, but they all, like, if there was, like, because you'd go to Taco Bell and you'd be like, what the hell is this? It's like, we got Slurpees now. And you'd be like, huh?
Well, Dunkin' Donuts apparently tested out the Munchkin milkshake somewhere, and I haven't seen it here.
No, they like, can't. Well, you
what a hit.
They can't test things here. There's too much on the line. I mean, like, everyone in Boston goes to Dunkin' Donuts every day. You got to test it out where you got, like, one store.
That's right. The one place where Krispy Kreme failed was here.
Yeah.
Give me a Munchkin milkshake. Test it out.
No, they can't. There's too much on the line. You can't. This is not the place to be experimenting.
That's a good point.
This is when it's tried and true. You bring it out in Boston. No sirree, Bob. There's too much on the line. This is the last place you'll get anything from Dunkin' Donuts. They got it honed to perfection by the time it gets out of here. I'm sure there's people from Dunkin' listening, and they could send you experimental stuff that they tried around.
Sure. I want the experimental stuff that has not gotten to market yet.
Yeah, like grandma's tongue wraps and things of that nature. That's the liquor that, I'm sorry, that's the liquor Crash served at his first wedding. It was just called Hangover in a Bottle. It's like, hey, you want to see blood in the morning? It's coming out one way or another.
It was called Why Is This Alcohol This Color?
Yeah. It was called I've Never Been That Hungover in My Entire Life.
Why is my whiskey bright blue?
It was a hangover that beer couldn't fix.
Oh,
it was
boy.
A hangover that, like, I couldn't drink out of. It was just, and I sat in a pool with it was in Key West. I sat in a pool with a beer for an hour, just trying not to vomit for the 85th time. Oh, Crash's first wedding. At least I didn't get my nose broken or get naked like my wife did. All right, Rich, what is coming up? I understand that Nicholas was out at the old hockey game yesterday.
He was. He was outside the TD Garden. We'll get to some of the recaps.
All right, we will do that in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.